Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
Well, once again, I want to welcome you to our service today. Thank you for being here. I know it's a little rainy and dreary out there, but it's springtime. And I'm looking forward to seeing all the pretty flowers and looking forward to getting through the last cold snaps that may be coming in springtime. I know this past week I was outside some and I was able to notice my bees were out and moving already. There's a little apple tree down behind the house that's bloomed and they were already working the blossoms on that apple tree. I was down there for a while yesterday, just stood listening to the hum of the honeybees inside of that tree as they were working, and just signs of life, signs of God's work and God's blessings, and it's just such a wonderful time. This morning, if you would turn with me in God's Word to James chapter 4, the book of James chapter 4, I'll begin reading with verse 7. When preparing for this morning's message, I was praying about what word God would give me out of John's Gospel, because we have been going through John's Gospel. And the more I studied the next passage in line, I'm not going to say I kept drawing a blank, but I just could not get peace with the message. And as I prayed about it, God opened up and He said, He didn't want me there this week. He had something else in store. So as I read through my Bible and as I prayed through what His Word was, He led me to James chapter 4. And as I read through James chapter 4, I came across this passage beginning with verse 7. And as I read it and read over it, the Spirit of God just moved upon me, and that's it. That's it. That's what He has for Sunday morning's message. So as I put this together, I put it together praying that whatever purpose it has, whether it is in this congregation, everyone can walk away with a blessing from this message this morning. There's no reason why we can't. But for those that may be listening by broadcast, there may be something in this to touch your heart as well this morning. So James chapter 4, verse 7. The Bible says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word. You know, as I look at James, and as I look back over this book and this epistle, I realize that he is writing to the church. Yes, he's writing to the church, not just a church. And we got to remember, in the time that this letter, this epistle was written, the church was scattered. As a matter of fact, if you go back to Acts chapter 12, you can read a little bit there about the scattering of the church and what had taken place. There was a great persecution, the stoning of Stephen, the scattering of the church that went all around the area, and how God used that. Well, as God used it, part of what He used we pick up here in James. The Lord's brother was preaching the Word of God, and part of the blessings and the outreach that took place out of that great persecution came from James' preaching. But we are talking about a scattered church. Now, when we think about a scattered church, what comes to mind? We think, when we think about persecution, we think about the church being broken up and it just being scattered abroad. Like if the government came into McDowell County and they came in today and they started kicking in church doors and started running people out, people that would just hit the roads and get in their vehicles and we would just drive and go back. Wherever we wound up is where God would have us to do His work, the scattered church. But there is something more to the scattered church, especially today in the 21st century. The scattered church today can mean one of difficulty from within the four walls of a building. The scattered church can mean difficulty from within a denomination. The scattered church can mean difficulty among Christians in beliefs or thoughts or doctrines. The scattered church can reach into those areas as well. And I think today we are living in a day of a scattered church. Because the church is trying to be so much to so many people. We're trying to reach into every life, into every aspect of life. And in doing so, we run the risk of watering down the gospel and taking down the influence of the church. There's problems and difficulties among people. Anytime you get a group of people together, you have differing views and differing thoughts and differing opinions. And often they divide, they confuse, and they frustrate. This is a picture of a scattered church. And the devil still scatters the church. And not only does the devil scatter the church, the devil scatters Christians this morning. And there's nothing more the devil would like to do than to come into the door here at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church and scatter this church. If the devil can scatter this church, then the devil can shut the doors of this building. Now I say this building because remember this, this building is not the church. This building is not the church. This building is just our meeting place. You and I are the church. Not exclusive, but we are inclusive of the church. But nonetheless, when the devil gets to come in the door, and when the devil gets to come inside the house and he starts stirring, he's going to start scattering. And when he starts scattering, what does it hurt? It hurts the testimony of Christ. That's what we need to focus on today. We may be saved. We know that we're saved. You may know in your heart today that you are saved and you're born again and you've been regenerated and redeemed by the blood of Christ. And I hope if you're listening and you're present here today, you are. But I want to ask you something. Has the devil got into your house and has he scattered the church? Has he scattered you by breaking you away and breaking you apart from the body of Christ? Has he scattered you in other ways, by frustration, by confusion, by division? You know, I don't know what's going on in your heart. Only you and God know that. But we don't need to be a scattered church. We don't need to be a part of a scattered church. We don't need to be letting the devil into God's business to take and mix around in it. So there's some things this morning that I want us to see out of this passage that will get us focused back on reality of being the church and the reality of the testimony and the work of being the church and the reality of exactly how damaging the devil can be and is today. Maybe he's not stirring up anything. I hope he's not. And if he isn't, it's an opportunity for you to praise God for the work that God's doing in your heart, in your home, in your life, and in this church today. But just keep in mind, if he's not working in this church, he's working in somebody's church. And if he's working there, when he's done there, he's going to try. If he's not already tried to get in here, he's going to be back. He'll be back. And we can use this lesson and this message today as a springboard to keep us prepared, keep us on our toes. Keep us on the watch. Well, notice that a child of God in verse 7 will be submissive. Verse 7 tells us to submit ourselves to God. Now, when we think about being submissive, a lot of different images can come into our minds. But what the Word of God is trying to tell us, when we are submissive, it means to get in line, one behind the other. If we are a child of God, we need to be submissive to God, and we need to be getting in line behind God, and we need to be following God. Not following a person, not following a pastor, not following a movement, not following anything like that. We need to be following God. If we're His children this morning, we need to be worried about what God wants. We need to be reading about what God expects. We need to be taking consideration in our heart personally about me. About me. We need to be submissive individually. Let's not worry about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Let's not worry about this group down the road or this group up the road. Let's worry about me. Am I submissive to God? Am I in line with what God wants? Now, I'll go ahead and tell you, the short answer to that is no, because none of us are capable of being in line all the time in everything. But that doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to try. That doesn't mean we don't have a responsibility to put an effort into being submissive. And we need to learn and grow and know when we step out of line and God gets us back in line, we know not to do that again. That's all part of being submissive. So, you know, you're going to have to ask yourself as we go through this message, am I submissive according to God's Word? Not according to me. Now, I can measure myself against anybody. I can measure myself against other pastors. I can measure myself against other church people. I can measure myself against other Christians. I can measure myself against anybody, and I could find myself being better than, worse than, or anywhere in between of anyone I want to measure up to. But that doesn't matter in God's eyes. God doesn't care about how we measure ourselves up against each other. That doesn't influence God. That doesn't impress God in the least. If we want God's attention in our life this morning, we need to be worried about how we measure up to God in His Word and the way He expects us. And if we do that, we're going to find ways that we fall short. And we're going to be looking at some of that. First of all, if we're going to be submissive, we're going to do it by resisting the devil. He will flee from you. If you resist Him, yes, you can resist Him. Just because the immoral TV programs are the most popular thing on television, and just because it's the most popular talk at work on Monday morning, and just because everybody else is watching them doesn't mean you have to watch them. Just because because of popularity, just because of prestige, just because if it is immoral, if it is wrong, if it is sinful, if the Word of God has something to say against something that's going on in your life, resist the devil. The devil is roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. Now, you go read that verse of Scripture, and it says may. It doesn't say will. It doesn't say shall. It says may. The devil has access only to the point of what God will allow him. The devil may tempt you. The devil may tease you. The devil may put obstacles in front of you. The devil may do all kinds of very subtle things or very offensive things in your life to try to draw you away from God, but you can resist him. The Word of God tells us that we can resist him. And if we're going to be submissive to God, we have to resist the devil. We can't live in both realms. We cannot be a born-again, blood-bought child of the living God and live like the devil. We can't do it. God won't allow it. Conviction won't permit it. The Holy Spirit won't let us have peace in our life over it. It can't happen. Well, not only do we resist the devil, we need to pursue a relationship with God. When the Bible says, draw nigh in verse 8, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh to you, it is pursuing something. We have to want it. Are we hungry and do we desire and do we pursue a relationship with God in our life? We come to church once, twice, three times, four times a week. We come to church and support and do. We look good on Sunday morning. We look good on other services. But when we get back home, when we walk back in the front door, we take the Bible and we toss it over on the kitchen table. We go into the refrigerator and we get something to drink and we come back and we start flipping through the TV remote. Where's our heart? Are we pursuing God? Are we wanting to draw nigh to Him? Do we have a desire and a hunger for Him? If we don't want a scattered church, we better start getting hungry for God, and we better start pursuing God. We better start being submissive to God. We better start resisting the devil. If we do draw nigh to God, if we do resist the devil, if we are submissive, there's going to be a couple of things happen. Continuing in verse 8, cleanse your hands, purify your hearts. There's going to be a repenting of sinful behavior and desires. Cleansing of the hands is behavior. It is something physical. You get your hands dirty with something, you got to clean them. When we talk about purifying the heart, it is a desire. It is an internal feeling. Sin begins in the heart. Looking at those bad TV shows, looking at that pornography, looking at some of the other things that are immoral and ungodly in our society, letting them come into our heart and letting them put those thoughts there. Those thoughts develop and grow into our hands, and our hands begin to get dirty. And what God's Word is telling us this morning is a scattered church is going to be the result of unclean hands and an impure heart. Let the devil in and let him get started working and see what happens. Impure heart, impure thoughts start developing. When the devil comes in and the devil starts digging around and clawing around, stirring up, he's going to start bringing up old thoughts and old feelings. He's going to start digging up all kinds of, digging in old wounds and bringing up old things. He's going to start stirring up stuff that he shouldn't be stirring in. And you know what? If we allow it to grow and build inside of our hearts and deep inside of our lives, it's going to eventually come out in our hands, and we're going to involve ourselves in sinful behavior. We're going to wind up finding ourselves in gossip and backbiting and sliding and slander and envy and spite. And the devil's going to scatter the church. But if we are a child of God, and if we are submissive to God, when those things start coming into our lives, we're going to want a relationship with God that's going to require us to repent, because God's not going to listen to us if we're letting that stuff go on in our lives. God's not going to listen. He's not going to hear us, because there's sin. There's separation between us and Him. And what God's wanting to hear from us, He's wanting to hear a plea from us of repentance. He's wanting to hear us getting right with Him. You see, before we can reach out, remember the cross? Before there can be a horizontal, there has to be a vertical. That vertical is our relationship with God. We can't have a relationship with others till we have a relationship with God. To be submissive to God is to have that relationship, and that relationship with Him comes from a hunger and comes from a desire. It is one that will resist the devil. It is one that will repent of sinful behavior and sinful thoughts and sinful desires in our lives, not because we have to, but because we know we need to. Because we know for me to be right with God, I've got to have this out of the way. You see, James knew the church was scattered when he wrote this epistle, and he knew how it got scattered, and he knew it was the hand of the devil working in it. And he was wanting the people to not get sucked in and get destroyed. He wanted the people to have that right relationship with God so they could have that right relationship with each other. And that's where the church needs to be today. If you notice, there's a phrase called double-minded. It's in verse 8. It closes verse 8. Double-minded points to both the lost and the saved. It speaks to every man and woman. It refers to an individual that has a double standard in regards to God's Word and the authority that it has in their life. It's important that you and I realize this morning that sin and sanctification are at work in every life. It doesn't matter whether you're lost or whether you're saved this morning. Sin and sanctification are at work. If you're lost this morning, sanctification's at work and God's calling you to repentance. God wants to set you apart. God wants you to be in His family. God wants you as a child of His. But something has to happen. You have to be repentant. You have to be called of God, and you have to be responsive to that call, and you have to be repentant. That is sanctification at work in the life of a lost person. But sin is also at work in the life of a saved person. Because you see, the devil can't take you. The devil can't reclaim you from God. But what the devil can do is he can so stir up your life. He can cause you to live under a double standard. And I'm afraid there's a lot of church today that's scattered because of a double standard. Sin is sin as defined here in their life. Sin is sin as defined here in their life. But sin is this as defined in my life. There's a double standard that goes on, and we all are vulnerable to it. Now, let's not get all huffed up and sanctified this morning that we're not vulnerable. We're all vulnerable to it. We're all vulnerable to redefining sin to mean something different depending on how we feel about the individual. We are all susceptible to being double-minded. And I feel like I could venture to say this morning, if we'd all be honest before God, we'd all come to a point in time where we realize we've been double-minded. It happens. But folks, it don't have to stay that way. Remember when I talked about submissive in the first part of the message? It was about getting in line with God and staying in line with God. Well, when we get out of line, God helps us back in. We learn from those situations. We learn from those times. We thank God for the times where He takes us and nudges us back in line again to get us back to being submissive to Him. Because as we learn and grow, that's all part of the sanctification in the life of a believer. It's learning. It's growing. When we were little children, when these little children that are here in church today, and when we were little children, we were told what to do. We were told and we were expected to do it because it was just the right thing to do. And when we got out of line, when we were not submissive, we were coached back in line again, some way or another. Sometimes it was with a hand. Sometimes it was with a belt. Sometimes it was being told. But nonetheless, we were put back in line again. That's the way children are raised. They are raised in a disciplined atmosphere of learning respect and right and wrong. What is any difference in that, in the way you was raised as a child, the way you're raising your children? What is the difference in that in being a child of God and the way God raises us up? He expects us to learn. And as we do, as we learn, we grow. A church that gets scattered, God can allow it to be scattered for a reason. He can allow it to be scattered in order for it to realize that they've got more to be thankful for than they realized. That they've got a mission to accomplish, and that mission doesn't take place inside of their life. It's not inside of their own little world. It's not inside of the four walls of a building. But that commission and that mission is getting the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's the whole reason the church exists. It doesn't exist for big buildings. It doesn't exist for big programs. It doesn't exist for prestige and notoriety. It certainly doesn't exist for politics. It exists for the promotion of the gospel. That's why the church is here. That's why we are part of the church. Well, the child of God will not only be submissive, but a child of God will be humbled. Notice in verse 9 it says they will lament. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Be afflicted, lament. That's what it means. When we realize that we have failed God, when we realize as a child of God that we've gotten into some double-minded mindset, we've got some double standards going on. When we realize we've stepped out of the submissive line of God and we realize that God's nudging us and God's working with us and chastising us and getting us back into line again with discipline, a couple of things ought to happen. First, we ought to mourn. We ought to be broken. Our hearts, it's inside. Inside. We ought to be broken that we've disappointed God. Now, if we're going to pursue Him, and if we're going to require and go after a relationship with God to be submissive, when we break that relationship, we're going to be mourning. We're going to be broken. Have you ever been broken because you've disappointed God? I have. I have experienced a brokenness of disappointing God because I refused or rejected, did not want to do something. I talked myself out of a calling to preach at a much younger age because of fear and intimidation, because of the devil. Getting in and stirring, he broke up some things. But yet, when I came back to God, He called me back and I conceded and I finally went into it, I was broken because I knew that I had disappointed God. In your life, have you ever disappointed God? And if you have, and you've not been broken for it, that ought to bother you, that you weren't broken to the point of mourning that you disappointed God. Because He loves us that much. He loves us that much. He gave His Son to redeem us. It's not a love that we have in return because we owe Him. If we desire that relationship with Him and we pursue that relationship with Him, we're going to want to be in that line. We're going to want to be there with Him. And when we're not there with Him, we will be broken. And that brokenness will develop a humility in our lives. The opposite of that brokenness is when we look around us. We see those out here in the world today. Those maybe are saved, but they have moved away and they've moved out of the presence of God. They've moved out from under His influence. They're out of line. They're out of the line of submission to God. They're way over here somewhere. They're being involved in a flippant laughter. when we look back, continue to look at verse 9, it says, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. It's conviction. We start enjoying sin. We start enjoying the things that sin brings into life. And as a church member, we can get scattered from the church. We can get scattered from the Word of God. We can get scattered from the things that we know are the right things to be doing in life. And by doing so, we can get separated. And you know what? We can be disrespectful of God. We can be disrespectful of life. We can be disrespectful of sin and death and judgment and holiness. We can be disrespectful of all of that. And the whole time we're going through it, we're mourning and we're heavy inside in our hearts because we know God's saying, come on over here and get back in line. Come on over here and get back in submission. We don't have to live in a scattered church today. We don't have to live in a scattered life. God says, come. I'd like for our musicians to come. And as I close, I've got one piece of scripture that I want to close with this morning. Actually, it's just a part of a piece. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25, the author of Hebrews talks about enjoying the pleasures of sin for a season. There is pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. It's only for a short time. And then there is a consequence for it. For the lost, that consequence is an eternity in hell. For the saved who have chosen to depart and scatter themselves from God, that consequence is a chastisement from God. We don't have to live under that life. We don't have to live under that umbrella today. God is calling us home. If there's anything scattered in our lives this morning, whether it's in our homes, whether it's in our personal lives, whether it's in our church life, whether it is in anything at all, if His life has been scattered for you, the door is open and the opportunity is open to come before God, not me, not anyone else, but before God, and get this vertical relationship right with God. Because until that vertical relationship is right, this horizontal relationship with other people can't be established. We don't have to be scattered. We don't have to be. If God's dealing with your heart this morning, as we sing, will you come? Ladies?